Now, as we go through this Ten Commandments series, you've been noticing that even though we're taking 1 week to preach on each command, we've been reading all Ten Commands. And some of you might be asking, why? Well, this is a time for instruction. And most folks, if we were to take a poll, wouldn't know what all the Ten Commands are. And so we're reading these. We're repeating these so they become ingrained into our soul, that we might know them, we might memorize them. So that's why we've been reading them in their entirety every week. And so we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. If you have your Bibles with you, it's going to be in the first front part of your Bible, in the first five books of the Bible. We're going to be Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 all the way through 17. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 all the way through verse 17. My friends, hear the word of the Lord. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Can we say thanks be to God?
Thanks be to God.
Would you let me pray for our time together? Spirit, we're asking you to speak. Speak in such a way that even transforms this wretched man in the pulpit. Speak in a way that transforms us from the inside out. Change our souls, change our hearts, renew the thinking of our minds and set them on Christ Jesus. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us this morning. Speak to us in truth and be merciful to us. We pray all this in your perfect Son's name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Y'all can sit down. Now, do you ever wonder why that after you take 2 days off from work, you're still exhausted when you go back in on Monday morning? You ever wonder that? Or have you ever heard somebody say, it might have been you that have said this, that I need a vacation from my vacation. You ever wonder why that's the case? I think it goes to show us that physical rest, rest from physical toil, is not the only rest that is available to us. There is another type of rest that is offered to us. There's a rest that's not just a break from your labors, but it's a rest that speaks to the weariness of your souls. A rest that speaks to the weariness of your hearts, so that even when you are physically tired from your labors, you're still able to work out of that rest. And in this commandment, the fourth commandment, known as the Sabbath, the fourth word, Moses will invite us to take a break. Y'all need a break this morning? Yes. He'll invite us to rest. And we're going to observe two things about this command. First is that we were created to rest and work. We were created to rest and work. And second, you have been delivered to rest and work. First, created to rest and work. Second, delivered to rest and work. Now, if you are going to take one big theme, one big idea away from our time together, it would be this. God has you created you to rest and to work. But more specifically, he has created you to work from resting in him. To work out of resting in him. And that type of rest is only found in God, in Christ Jesus, who has finished the work of salvation for us on our behalf. That is the rest he is inviting us to enter into. It's a rest that's going to allow us to work out of that rest. And so, let's look at this first point. Created to rest and work. You see, this fourth commandment, it closes out this subgroup of commands that were within the whole of the Ten Commandments. You see, the first four commands are all about our relationship, how we relate to God. The next six are about how we relate to one another. And if we were to review, they go something like this. First command, it's who we worship. Second command, it's how we go about worshiping this God that we love. Third command, it's how we speak about this God. What words do we use to describe this God? And this command, the fourth command, is going to diagnose your schedules. It's going to diagnose your rhythms for how you rest in God. It's inviting you to rest in him. We read this right in verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 8 says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And verse 10, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord, to the Lord your God. And so on one hand, if you're paying attention to this text in verse 9, work's pretty important, right? I mean, I'm no mathematician, but 6 days out of 7, that's a pretty high percentage rate, right? I'm not good with spreadsheets. Help me out here. That's good, right? The Lord values productivity. The Lord values work. He's saying 6 out of those 7 days, you shall work. But notice what he's saying on the seventh day. It's a Sabbath. It's a break. You are to rest. This word Sabbath means to stop. It means to cease. Cease from your working. Cease from your creating. Cease from cultivating. And this is the focus of the command, to cease from your work. But what does verse 8 mean? You ever thought about this before? To keep this day holy? Holy means set apart in its basic language. Holy means something that is other. Meaning, this day should not compare to the other 6 days. There should be something that is tangibly different about this day because it's set apart from the others. It's like how we, the created, are set apart from the Creator who is holy. Right? We are finite. But God, who is holy, he is infinite. We can seemingly control some things, but God, who is holy, is sovereignly controlling all things. We create from something, but God, who is holy, he creates from nothing. We are like God in that we're his image bearers, but we're unlike him because he is holy and we are anything but. And in the same way, this day, this Sabbath, is set apart in that it does not compare to the other 6 days in its content, in what it contains. It's like it in some ways, right? It's a day, just like the other 6 days are a day. But it's set apart because it's different. The makeup of it, the substance, is holy. It's other. And he tells us in verse 8 to remember this day. Remember this day. Keep it holy. Why? A few weeks ago, I told you when we ask the question why, typically the Lord gives us the why. And if you want to find a question to your why, look for one word. It's the word for. If we continue down in Exodus 20, verse 11, it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, in light of all this, and all that the light of the Lord has done, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So why should you rest? Because your God rested. He's saying, I created you in my image. I created you to create and to cultivate the earth, much like I created the heavens and the earth. But I also rested. And as my image bearers, I've created you to rest, to put the work down, to take a break. Friends, if God rested from working, why can't we? Why can't we put our work down? You know, I was getting my oil changed this last week, and the mechanic, who is this supposed expert on vehicles, right? That's what mechanics are. They're experts. He comes to me and lets me know, hey, we've changed your oil, changed the filter, and we've rotated your tires. And then the inevitable comes. He starts telling me everything else that's wrong with my car. And you know what we hear, or at least I hear, when he comes to me with that? I start hearing the sound of the adults in Charlie Brown. And when he finishes talking, it says, I say, I'll just think about it. Yeah. Let me check on that. I'll get back to you. So the expert is trying to keep me safe so my car doesn't fall apart on me or my family. And I say in my arrogance, yeah, I'll think about it. My eyes glaze over. And isn't that what we do with this command? Our eyes glaze over when we get here. God's inviting us, yes, to work for 6 days, but to rest, to put it down. And in our arrogance, we say, when I get around to it, I'll think about it. When I have time to rest, then I'll rest. The expert who created you and made you, he knows you need rest. And we say, I'll think about it. Friends, we were created for this. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that Moses brings up the creation account? That the very foundation of why we should rest is found in who God is and what he has done at the beginning. And remember, this was before sin entered the world. Before Genesis 3, he's inviting us to rest. That after 6 days, he rested. And think with me for a second. When were we created? On what day was man and woman created in God's likeness? What day was that? It was the sixth day. Sometime on the sixth day. And so the first thing that the God of the universe who created us invites us to do is work, right? No. Our first full day of existence with God, he invites us to rest with him. Oh, this is profound. That when he creates us, we are to begin from the point of rest in him. Breen, and a guy with the last name of Cochran, helps us out with this. They write this: from this, we see an important principle of life. We are to work from our rest. Do you see that? We are to work from our rest, not rest from our work. Rest from the very beginning is the starting point for all human creation. But we, in our sin, we have flipped the script. We say, no, we'll rest later. Let me get work done first. And in God's kindness, the way that he understands us and steps into our life, he comes down to us on a mountain and he speaks to us, okay, you have worked for those 6 days. Would you please rest on the seventh? Would you take a break? Would you put your work down? And he also reminds us what we were created to do, to start from a point of rest. Sabbath is part of your design. It's part of your design. And has God taken a break from creating? Did he take a break? Did he put his work down? Absolutely he did. He rested after creating the world. But does that mean that he has stopped working altogether? Absolutely not. That is the lie of deism, that God created and left us to fend for ourselves. But he is a God who's still at work with us today. The reason why we can rest is because our God doesn't rest. The reason why we can sleep at night is because the psalmist tells us that your God does not slumber or sleep. The reason why you can put your work down is because God is always working, even when you are not. Friends, that is good news for us. That's balm for our weary souls. And Jesus, yes, the transcendent God, is imminent. He's with us, Emmanuel. He says he's going to work on the Sabbath. Why? One, because he is God, and because his Father is still working. If you turn with me to John 5:17 and keep your fingers in Exodus, John 5:17 says this: my Father is always working. This is Jesus who's saying this. And what does he say? And so am I. The God-man Jesus Christ keeps working, even on the Sabbath, because God doesn't cease from working in this world or in your lives. Friends, you will never rest from your work until you see that God never puts down his work. And you will also not rest from your work until you see that you've been delivered from the slavery of your work. And that's the second thing we're looking at today. The second thing we're looking at today is that these people, and by extension us, we are delivered to rest. Not just created to rest, but we have been delivered to rest and to work. We see that first and foremost in these Ten Commandments up in verse 2. But second, in the second giving of the law in Deuteronomy, the Lord gives us this little glimpse. In Deuteronomy 5:15, he's listing out the fourth commandment again. And instead of appealing to the creation account, he appeals to their delivery from Egypt. He says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, because he has saved us, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Y'all take a deep breath with me this morning. And I want you to imagine being Israel. 400 years they were enslaved. They probably weren't able to keep this practice because they were being exploited by Pharaoh. This is both the created ordinance, and God is recreating this ordinance because they hadn't had a day off for 400 years. Every day, sweat and pain. Every day, muscles aching. Every day, their bones wearing away. Every day, their backs hurt. Every day, more work. Day after day, pain. Night after night, they knew that a day off wasn't coming. You think you've had a tough work week. They've had a rough work life from womb to tomb. And they weren't working for God, y'all. They were working for God's enemy, Pharaoh. And God is saying, this Sabbath day is meant to be a reminder. Remember. Remember you were enslaved. This Sabbath day is a reminder to show you that you have been emancipated from your slavery. And why they need to remember this is so they will not enslave other people on their day off. They will not force other people to work for them while they rest. If you flip back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 10, it says this, on you shall not do any work, on it, the Sabbath. Don't do any work, you, or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. And what type of work is this? This is the type of work that is for their financial gain. And what does financial gain get people? An increased status. It increases their value and their worth. It eases their comforts. This is the type of work the Lord is saying, put down for a day. And how do we know it's this type of work? Was because we know the Israelites still were allowed to show acts of mercy and love towards one another. They still had to cook meals for one another. And we even see Jesus, the God-man, explaining this. When he's about to heal a man in Luke 6 with a withered hand, the religious leaders start complaining, start grumbling about Jesus, and Jesus responds to them like this. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. And Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to destroy it? And after looking around at them all, he said to him, that is the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. The Lord is not forbidding acts of mercy and acts of love that benefits your neighbor. He's forbidding the type of work that only benefits you. This day is just not set apart as holy. I've set you, my people, apart as holy. I made you and I've delivered you. Don't treat others in the same way those Egyptians treated you. Don't use them and exploit them for your own personal desires and wants. Don't do it to your kids. Don't do it to your family. Don't do it to your coworkers and to your employees. Don't even do it to the sojourners, the foreigners, the immigrants that might come into your land. I want you to treat their work as if it were your own work. Treat them as I have treated you. Saying, don't exploit them. Don't enslave them. See, if you see that you were created and delivered to rest, you're going to invite others to rest as well. You're going to invite others to rest with you. And so you can not only enjoy God, it's a day to the Lord that you're to enjoy, but you're to enjoy God with others, with your family, with your neighbors, with strangers. To dwell with God and discover who he is, not alone, but with others. That's why he's saying, do not put others to work when you rest. Marva Dawn, she tells us this. When we are not under the compulsion to be productive, we are given time to dwell with others, to be with them, and thereby discover who they are. Rest is just as much about people as it is about work. Because how we view other people, whether we use them or we don't, how we view our work and our rest, reveals what we believe about our God. It goes right back to the very first command. Who is your God? Is it you? Are you the provider? Or is God the provider? Are you the one who keeps the world spinning? Or must you force others to keep all your little worlds and little plates spinning? Who's in charge? What would cause somebody not to take a day off? You know, I was reading this article in Forbes magazine, and the author did all this research, and it claims that 23% of all employees never use a vacation day. One out of four people. Y'all are crazy. And if you do use those vacation days, you only use half of them. And then if you do go on vacation, 66% of y'all report that you work while on vacation. And this is just not a problem out there. It's a problem within the church as well. And you don't want to know why they keep working? It's fear. They all give their reason. It's fear. It's fear for multiple things. That they will fall behind on projects. It's fear that they'll disappoint their coworkers, not getting their approval. It's fear that if they don't get the work done, no one else will. Some fear losing their job, so what they do is they save up all their vacation days so they get the payoff at the end, if they lose their job. And some of them would rather have a certain lifestyle to appear a certain way to the culture around them, and so they don't take the days off, they rather have the money so that they look and can be perceived as something that they're actually not. It all stems from fear. See, it's not just the labor that depletes you. And it doesn't matter if you're a believer in here in Jesus Christ or if you're not. Physical labor is not what ultimately depletes you. It's the work that is going on underneath your work. It is the labor that is going on underneath your laboring. It's what's motivating you to keep working and not take a break. And just as the Israelites were tempted not to rest for their own personal gain, we do the same thing. For fear of running out of food, for fear of running out of money, they kept working. And we are no different. Times have changed, but people have not. Hearts have not changed. So whether you're a student, a parent, a manager, an employee, an employer, an entrepreneur, why can't you put it down? Why can't you put it down? And I'm not just talking about the work. I'm talking about the work underneath the work. Because even when you start to rest and everything is shut off, including that stupid phone of yours, your heart's still at work, isn't it? Your heart is still in a state of unrest. And so what is it? Why do you keep working? Is it fear of not measuring up to your peers' standards or to your parents' expectations? Or maybe it's a fear of ending up like somebody else or fear of turning into, God forbid, your parents. And you keep working and working to prove that you will not end up like them. Is it fear that if you don't keep working, you're going to fail? And by that, you'll be seen as a failure to everyone around you. Or is it a fear that if you stop working, so will everyone else, including God? If I can't fill in the blank, then God won't fill in the blank. What we ultimately fear is that if we stop spinning all of our plates, then our little worlds will stop spinning. that nothing will get done. Nothing will get accomplished because we have this God complex. We are putting ourselves in the place of God. And we become evil taskmasters of ourselves and others just so we can feel like we have an ounce of control in this life. I mean, even after the work hours are over, you are still working. And there's evidence for it. It's called social media, where you're trying to prove to everyone around you, I am worth something. I have value. See me work. See what I do. And the lie that we're believing is this, is that if you stop working, you will no longer have any value, worth, or dignity anymore. Or put it another way, if you don't finish, then your identity is finished. But then there's some of you who rest, and oh, you rest, but it's not rest. You escape. You use the good things that God has given you to forget about these fears that creep up. And if you haven't guessed it, I'm talking about me right now. I use the good gifts God's given me, entertainment, hobbies, family, literature, to forget about this inner turmoil inside my soul that says, I am a failure. The shame that depletes me. So after I'm done enjoying those things, I'm no more rested than when I started. I'm actually less rested. And God is here to say to me, to say to you, that you can rest in him. That this is a day to him. This Sabbath, did you know? It was created as a sign. It's a symbol. The prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 20, verse 12, he says, also I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. The Sabbath is a sign. Now, what does a sign do? A sign points us to the main attraction. No one, no kid, no adult, when they're on their way to the magical kingdom, and you see the million signs lining the miles of highway, when they enter the gates of Disney, they don't say to their parents who just spent hundreds of dollars to go to the magic kingdom, can we go back and spend time with the sign? No one does that. Why? Because the sign is meant to direct you to the main thing that you are meant to enjoy. The Sabbath is a sign to direct you to the Lord your God who made you holy. Yes, it is a day that is made for us, but it's not a day that is about us. Verse 10 in Exodus 20 shows us who it's about. It's a day to who? To the culture? To us? No, it's a day to the Lord who made you, the prophet Ezekiel says, holy. How does he make us holy? It's by Jesus. Jesus, who is the Lord of what, church? He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he tells us this in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 22, verses 27 through 28. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Do you know why Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath? Well, for one, he created it. He made it. For him and by him and through him, all things were made and created. But second, he also embodied it. Underwork and overwork were a great temptation for Jesus. People were clamoring for his attention. They wanted more of him, but Jesus never fell prey to underwork or overwork. What did we see him doing when people were begging for more healings, begging for more miracles? What did he do? Oh, he withdrew. Not to just to get time alone and some me time. He withdrew to get time with the Lord. He was able to rest because he knew exactly who he was. He wasn't a slave to the approval of man because he knew where his approval came from God the Father. He wasn't a slave to the status quo of the culture. Why? Because he knew where his identity laid. It laid in these words, "This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased." But you and I, we keep working to prove our identity. We keep working to prove our worth. We can't rest. We've become enslaved by our own desires to prove that we are something. And in an effort to be something, we've even enslaved others around us and trampled on others around us. Friends, we must be, we need to be delivered. Who will save us from this state? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus wants to rescue you and free you. He's here to give you true rest. How? By losing rest for you so you can gain rest. Do you know in the Garden of the Gethsemane, when he was praying to his Father, he was sweating blood. Why? Because he knew the unrest he was about to experience as he hung from the cross. He experienced the turmoil of unrest when the wrath of God was poured out on him so that we can experience rest in God by faith in Christ Jesus. This is what God offers to us on the cross in Christ, that Jesus was exploited for our sin. Jesus was enslaved. He was hung from that cross by our sin. Don't you see that in creation, God finished his work, declared it good, and made the seventh day holy. On the cross of Christ, Jesus cries, "It is finished." And by faith in Christ, you know what we are declared? We are declared righteous. We are declared good. And we get to rest now in Christ's finished work. That's what's offered for us. The work of salvation is accomplished in Christ Jesus. Christ is saying, "I've finished the work, so you no longer have to prove yourself to others and prove yourselves to God. I am proof enough." By faith in my work and the way that I rest and the repentance of the work that goes on underneath your labors, if you turn to me, I will give you rest. I will give you love. I will give you worth. I will give you my very identity, a child of God with whom he is well pleased. That is rest for us. Come to me who labor, Jesus says. Come to me who labor, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the author of the Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Jesus is the Sabbath rest. Do you know why he's the Sabbath rest? It's because after he finished his work, Hebrews 10:12 tells us that he has sacrificed himself for our sins. And you know what he's done after he finished sacrificing himself? Y'all, he sat down. He sat down. I don't know if y'all are hearing me right now, but Jesus sat down and rested because the work of salvation, the work of your justification before God is finished. And so that when we put our faith in Christ Jesus, God doesn't look back at our work any longer and see a bunch of failures of people who have failed to rest in him, but he looks back on Jesus' life and he puts Jesus' work on us so that we're seen as perfect. We have perfectly labored. We have perfectly rested because of faith in Christ Jesus. We look back not on our work, but on Jesus' work, and we say, "Oh, that is good news for me who has failed at resting in Christ." That's done solely by putting your work down and saying, "Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked I come to thee for dress. Helpless I look to thee for grace. Foul unto the fountain I fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." Drop your work and rest in Jesus' work. You know why we celebrate this on Sundays? Know why we celebrate Jesus on Sundays? Why it's called the Lord's Day? Well, it's because Jesus defeated all the evil work of sin, Satan, and death by resurrecting from the tomb on the first day of the week, so that we can experience this rest on the first day and then go out and work from this place of rest. Amen? Friends, when we know this, we begin to work from our rest in Christ Jesus, resting in his finished work. When we know that our identity is not in who we are, but in who he is, we will no longer want to prove ourselves to others, and we'll see that we don't have to prove ourselves to God, because Christ Jesus already did that for us. And we will celebrate this Sabbath as a declaration of our freedom to live. It's freedom of what we've been enslaved to the culture's expectations, to your peers' standards, to all of your family's hopes, and to all of your insecurities. Christ has delivered you from the labor that is underneath your work. We are freed to live. And this day that we set aside, y'all, it's not for your hobbies. It's not for your entertainment. It's for God. It's unto God. And hear me right. I'm not saying don't enjoy those things, but don't expect those things to give you the rest that only Jesus can offer you. Enjoy those things while you glorify God. Recognize who those good things come from, the one who gives you rest. And so as we close, what do we do? What's left for us to do? Put your work down. Can you begin with God's created ordinance, where he began? Can you begin with a day of rest? And you might be asking, does it have to be Sunday? Y'all, I work on Sundays. I ain't resting right now. I'm working. I love you guys. So my family has to pick a different day of the week to rest on. Can you give him 24 hours? Can you let go of a day? Because when we let go of a day, you know what we're saying? God does not let go of us, even though we're putting down our work. God does not put down his work, even though we're choosing to rest. Can you give him that? And then maybe from that weekly rhythm of resting, you might be able to do what the Israelites did in the Old Testament. Take extended periods off. It was commanded in the Old Testament. Take longer periods of Sabbath. Sometimes there's even a year given for rest. And hear this. We don't rest to be delivered from our sins. Don't get back on the performance train. We rest because we've already been delivered from our sins. Amen? So friends, the Lord is inviting you into this discipline to remember that you are not the one who keeps the world spinning, but he is. To know that you are not the one who has worked for your salvation, but he has. So friends, let's work from this rest. You are created to rest and work, and you have been delivered to rest and work. Y'all, we forget this sometimes. I forget it. And Jesus makes sure that we would not forget what it took to deliver us from our very unrestful souls. He gave us a reminder to help us remember that on the night he was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it.